You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own stories and to share our content with others.
Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. John 1:5. Since this insight is actually the beginning of the revelation given to John close to the end of his life by Jesus himself, we can be sure that whether we see darkness or light depends on what we're looking at. If we're looking through selfie glasses, everything's dark. If we're looking through Jesus' eyes, everything is clear and therefore can be defined by communion with Him. If we've done nothing that would turn off Jesus' view, and still darkness is all we see, we can be sure the Father has put us in the shadow of His hand, so He can work something deep inside us beyond our conscious analysis. In that case, we must just be still and wait for that work to be finished, which will dictate our next active steps. Busy work for Him at that point would be disastrous for everyone. That's the message of Dawn Will Come, and it is exclusively meant for you who are already completely trusting in His creation and management of all that pertains to your life, relationships, and fruitfulness. Now, it gets tricky when the light suddenly splits the darkness and the next goal is crystal clear. With the same trust that waited patiently, I now must get up and move. Gotta get her done, right? See how quickly the selfie glasses go back on? If we keep going through that process without learning to keep our Jesus glasses on, our selfie glasses will be so broken that we won't see it suddenly dark again every time. Okay, here's the dawn this song is talking about. Let it dawn on your little pea brain that God had His hand over you, updating your software. Something completely new. You've never thought that way, much less done something that way. And it must be accessed when the details of that next objective suddenly become clear. Put simply, it's a new view of work in which God is the only one accomplishing anything. It's a new joy in doing the simple physical work that you can do, and mostly watching in awe as He does what only He can do. All we have to do is persist in turning and coming to Him at every opportunity, bowing before His terrifying splendor, and that dawn will come over and over again throughout eternity. Well, what you're listening to is my friend Paul Clark picking on his guitar.
Yeah.
Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Terry. It's a blessing to be here with you.
Thanks for taking this time out. It's been really hard for us to get this minute together because of the schedules are just...
We're busy guys. I live in Kansas, here in California.
Well, I really appreciate the steadiness and the persistence that you've shown. And I know that's been as strong a message as the music conversation that you've had about the Lord and about life in Him. The first thing I would like to get into is, can you give kind of a concise run through of how you got connected with Jesus?
Basically, my short story would be I was an unlicensed pharmaceutical representative.
Yes.
Who ran into a praying grandmother.
Oh boy.
And once you come face to face with a praying grandmother, it's not a matter of if but when you're going down. So
yeah,
moved out to Colorado. I was living in a little 1865 log cabin.
Mm-hmm.
At 10,000 feet up in the Colorado Rocky Mountains on the Western Slope. We had nothing. It was four band guys, myself, and we had not anything to our names except for our instruments. Every Saturday, we went down to a little town called Empire, Colorado, to get Swanson's beef TV dinners and check our mailbox to see if we'd been drafted yet. So it was a sad, glad day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one Saturday, we went down there, and there was a big box for me for my grandmother, and you could smell it, open it up. It was layers and layers and layers of chocolate chip cookies.
Like, oh, gosh.
So the next Saturday...
You went to heaven.
I did. Well, five hippies and 2 gallons of milk. We didn't make it halfway back to the 17-mile trip back to our houses long gone. The next Saturday, went back, and in that same post office, another big box, my grandma opened it up, and the first thing my eyes laid upon was Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis.
Oh, boy.
Then the next book, Imitation of Christ. Then the next book, Peace of God by Billy Graham. Just one from their classic. My grandmother just unloaded the fishing tackle box on.
That'll leave a mark.
Yeah, left a mark for sure. But one of the books was really a testimony of a World War I soldier who had an experience in the war. And this book was self-published, written in 1921. And the vernacular of the book was military but out of date with the 60s generation. But still,
yes.
I could get the vernacular. I could understand his emotion. So it's a 121-page book, and I read that all in one day. At the end of it, it has simple prayer. to be a soldier in God's army. And I woke up the next morning and went on my front porch and wrote a song called The Looking Glass Incident. And the second day I went on the front porch and wrote a song called Make Me a Soldier of Your Army. And the third day I wrote a song called Beware, and it went on and on.
Wow.
8 days in a row. I don't know what happened the ninth day, if I like slept in or what. But that's the way I started. Those eight songs, I had no biblical training. It ranged from everything from spiritual warfare to Jesus coming again to freedom and grace, no condemnation. Yeah. And I look back at those, it's a real confirmation because I couldn't have drunk that stuff up.
Well, eight is the number of new beginnings.
That's right. Starting was new beginnings for sure.
Yeah.
So that is my calling, basically.
That's great.
So how many people can say, the last 50 years, I get up every morning and do what I love to do.
Yeah.
I go to bed only because I can't wait to see what's going to happen the next day. It's been a really fantastic journey the last 45 years.
That's perspective, all right. That's real. That's reality.
It is real. It's beautiful.
So much of life is spent just kind of projecting and living in the past or living in the future and never living the moment and enjoying
exactly
where you are. I mean, I read something this morning that was talking about the lilies of the field. They grow where they're put, in the ground, growing right there.
Yep.
And the circumstances around them, it's not an issue. It's just the learning curve or the adaptation or whatever.
Absolutely.
So
it's
very good illustration for our lives.
And they learn to take in the elements, what they're given.
Yeah.
The sun, the rain. This road has a lot of ups and downs and lefts and rights. And the thing, too, is that no one's exempt. It's not a matter of if, but when. Everyone's going to be go through those good times. Everyone's going to go through those testing times that we're being shaped and fashioned.
I think it's very important for people to hear the conversation with God behind the headlines. You know, we hear the headlines, we see the headlines of these great testimonies, but nobody gets to sit and hear the wrestling that has gone on with the Lord, the conversations, the revelation time, the struggles to understand, and, you know, running into the brick wall. So I'm interested, even from those early times, what do you remember of what was the conversation then at those pivotal moments? It's very strengthening for people to know, like you said, nobody's exempt from these things of being a human being. And encounters with God means you're encountering things that are completely foreign to us as human beings because we've been separated from Him.
Yeah. The first thing that really overwhelmed me when that experience of encountering Christ happened, although I encountered Jesus, it led me to, as what the Bible declares, I was overwhelmed by the sense of a father. Now, I had a great earthly father. He's my best friend. We did everything together. I mean, my dad and I were inseparable. He was just a great man, a great friend, a great father to me, and provided so much for me. But there's only so many miles that can go.
Yeah.
And for me, if I could define the hippie generation, it was millions of young people looking for a heavenly father. And I
think you're right,
I found the peace is what overwhelmed me first. That's the first thing that I really remember. Mm-hmm. Wow, my mind's so clear. I feel so peaceful. I'm really, truly settled.
Right.
And it didn't just last one day or 2 days. It was like as the first week or two went by, I thought, wow, this is like every day I'm feeling this. Just by having that sense of, I thought, wow, nothing bad could happen. I may even get drafted and go to Vietnam, but I just thought, I feel this peace.
Yeah.
And the peace was directly related to knowing I had a Heavenly Father. No matter what happened to me, I had a Heavenly Father. Everything was going to be all right.
Right.
And that, I feel that really launched me and propelled me. In that, you're talking about the conversation, a dialogue.
Yeah.
I had a hunger from that five-year age to 18, always trying to find Christ. When I turned 14 or so, I gave up on Jesus, really. He was like the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus. I just didn't see his relevancy. He just wasn't speaking to me. So when I really came to this place of being born again, it was the package deal. I felt a sense of awe and security from a Heavenly Father. I was immediately, instantly in love with Jesus. And then I realized that He gave me the Holy Spirit. I didn't really actually know even to the extent of how much He'd given to me until 4 months later when I met my first Christians down in Denver. And they were talking about what had happened to me in my testimony. And they started talking about the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, there's some things that happened here kind of weird, you know. And I had manifestations of the Holy Spirit in my life that I didn't know that were in the Scriptures.
Right.
And it was for real. So I would just say my starting dialogue was with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, clear as a bell. No muddy water there. It went from muddy water to a dialogue with three beautiful individuals. You know?
That's what you call immersion.
It was.
I love it.
It was a transformation. People have different testimonies, transformations that happen over years and years of doing this or doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And mine was definitely a guillotine-like experience. I mean,
he
dropped one night and the next morning, you know, it was all different. I mean, the scenery changed. So I would say that. I'd say that my first conversations were based upon not only coming to know who they were and then working together, but also I specifically really felt called immediately to action. It was sort of like I got saved to being a believer, but also saved to get to work. Like, we got work to do, like right now. I mean, I wasn't even a Christian for a week, and I felt a sense of a voice in my mind. The phrase would go over and over and over and over. It was, I'm going to give you a new song to sing to the ends of the earth. It gave me a vision. I had vision immediately. I really felt that this meant something.
Yeah.
It was just like giving a guy a gun and a backpack and a compass and a water bottle and all the things you need for war. I felt like I was being equipped for war, and I never did get drafted in the Vietnam War. But I did get drafted to a different war, you know.
Yeah,
and
you
that
did.
Took place just 4 months later. I moved to Denver, fall of 1970, where I'd been a Christian for about 6 months, and opened this little coffee house called The Narrow Gate, which was from a dream I had. I literally saw a swinging sign.
I saw
the building and everything, and it was 4 months later that I was down in Denver getting supplies, and I wasn't even driving the car. I just looked over at my friend who's driving, and I looked like through him, like over his shoulder. I saw the building. But it led to street ministry.
What is incredible to me, and very rare today, for a person to have as much awareness of all of that that you did. And obviously you were trained to think and to be aware of what's going on and think about it, work it out. And
I immediately saw things in an album
because
I had 10 songs before I even knew it. Within 3 weeks, I wrote more than 10 songs. I still have on a Big Chief tablet my first album cover that I sketched out. I wasn't a Christian for 10 days. And these mountains and the sunrise coming up and songs from the Savior. And it's amazing to think that concepts were rolling through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously shows his birth by the Holy Spirit that I couldn't have thought that up.
And we think that that's such a unique and personal thing. And yes, it is.
Yeah.
But I think if the pages of people's lives were opened up, especially ones that you've seen be very productive for the kingdom, you find immediate vision and action.
I've always been grateful that my transformation, it was a one-on-one encounter up in the middle of nowhere, Colorado, without a clue. And I've always been thankful because, you know, it's clear cut.
You got direct access.
Yeah, there was no plan B. It was like, bam, here it is, here's your songs, and now go do it. Just that simple. You know, like I said, I moved to Denver, and all I did was make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and hippies would come to the door, and I'd feed them, and I'd play my songs, and people got saved. I mean, I didn't know that's what was even going on.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was in the ministry, so I've always been grateful that was the way it started.
Yeah.
It's funny, I still remember the telephone number for the coffee house, 303-222-8201.
And where was the coffee house?
First on Federal Boulevard, and then eventually moved down to Colfax. So.
Oh, my.
3936 Federal Boulevard. So many great things happened right out of the chute. You want a little backstory. Here's a good little backstory. I haven't thought this for a while. I got connected with a church there just around the corner, four blocks from the coffee house. And the pastor, Lou Montecalvo, he had me come sing one of their Friday night youth outreach things. And so I began a relationship with the two pastors there. And I'd been maybe a believer for 6 months. I don't know, not very long. And he said, hey, can you come Wednesday night service? They had service like four nights a week. Can you come Wednesday night? Why don't you sing a song before our guest speaker? Well, Wednesday was when I went anyway. He wasn't really paying attention. I went early because Wednesday morning was women's meeting. There's always food left over down in the refrigerator in the kitchen. So I get early, go down there, raid the refrigerator, and eat. I was starving. I came this one Wednesday night, got there early, like 6 o'clock for a 7 o'clock service. And I got greeted at the door by this kind of, you know, frumpy older woman in her 80s and had her hair up in a bun and the glasses. Very thick Dutch accent.
Wow.
And, you know, she's, hello, my young man, how are you? And fine. I just zoomed right past her to meet her and went down to raid the refrigerator. I came upstairs and Lou said, hey, do a couple songs, and then I'll introduce our speaker. And he said her name, but I wasn't even paying attention. So I play a couple songs. I sit down in the front row, and then he does this long introduction about this Dutch woman, the hiding place.
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing. I was going, oh, that's an interesting story. You know?
It's Corey.
And also he says, Corey Ten Boom. And the lady stands up, was a greeter. It's Corey Ten Boom. She's out doing her book tour for the hiding place.
That is sweet. What a piece of history.
She leaned against that pulpit and sang a cappella, and it was A lot of vibrato.
Yeah.
It was powerful.
What a woman.
It's a good one.
Well, I have some favorites on Whistle Stop, and I wonder if you could pick a couple.
How about if I do Whistle Stop first?
It's kind of, all right, that'd be great.
Down to Whistle Stop is the name of the album. But the thing about that song is that it really evokes a full circle. Because,
yes,
as you remember, in 1970, the battle cry was Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
So I've gone through all these genres. I'm kind of gone full circle. I've lapped the field and back to
roots.
Back to my roots, yeah. So here's Down at the Whistle Stop.
Down at the whistle stop, you could have heard a needle drop after my question was through. Everybody stopped instead from the words that just declared about a train that was due. Then one old timer said, "Son, that rail is long since dead. Who told you it was alive?" And I said, "My grandma's Bible had a little left beside it, and it spoke about a train coming here." No one sang Amazing Grace. Coffee and smoke choked the air. The waitresses and kitchen cooks grabbed their tips and order books and headed down the back stairs. Suddenly the cups and saucers danced across from Micah altars. The building started to shake. Forks and spoons sang out their tunes. Outside was a blood red moon. I hear that whistle blowing. It's coming here again with the engineer. Beckoning to all who hear. Running on the track of the cell phone. When you hear the engine roar, son, you've got to climb on board. You'll find stop. You could have heard a needle drop after the train had pulled through.
All right. You know, you remember back in that day, there are bumper stickers, the driver's car disappears, and all this rapture information everywhere. And I remember coming across that verse that says, when you see the leaf on the tree, you know, summer's nigh, the return of the Lord is at hand. So in the summer of 1970 ended, I was kind of disappointed, you know, and then 71 and,
yeah,
and 72 and,
yeah,
73. Like by 75, I thought, he ain't coming. You forget it. Which led me to doing an album actually called Hand to the Plow, which is kind of a...
Yeah.
It was definitely a revelation that I was going back to cities, you know, 2 and 3, 4 times even, that people got saved and become leaders. And then I go back a year later, where's Steve? Oh, he fell away. Fell away?
Wow.
What do you mean fell away? You know, how can he fall away from... Like he had this transformation and had this incredible agape love just pour through your veins and you fall away. I just couldn't get it. And I, through the Holy Spirit, ascertained that it was lack of fellowship and lack of teaching,
yeah,
accountability, all those things that allow people to...
Sometimes leadership is kind of a setup.
That's right, it is. You know, Jesus has a lot to say about seed that falls on certain ground and soils. And so, you know, those early years, definitely at 70 to 75, were primarily salvation-based evangelism.
Yeah.
I've always believed, for me, that music was a passport to a deeper purpose.
Yeah.
So I remember one time I took my boys fishing in Arkansas, and I had stockpiled up a big tackle box of all these fancy lures and the bombers and the jigs and all these different things. And we fished all day long the first day, and like in the Bible, we caught nothing. We walked this little teeny shack, and the guy says, "How did you pull in today, feller?" And I said, "Man, shut out, you know." He goes, "Shut out? What are you fishing with?" And I said, "Well, I'm good, you know, silver spinners." I named off all these fancy lures, you know. And he goes, "You ain't gonna catch nothing down here on those things. Here," he's handing me a can of corn niblets. The next day, we put just a chunk of corn on a hook. We caught our limit before 8 o'clock in the morning. It was just ridiculous. We caught like 90 trout that day. Just,
yeah.
So I've always looked at music that way. That music for me serves a purpose, that it leads to a dialogue with the person. You know,
that's
that
right.
I've literally put myself in a posture of clearing my schedule off.
Yeah.
And saying, "Okay, Lord, where's the new clay?
Yeah.
What's the new formation look like? Where are we going?" Looking with anticipation right now of where we're going.
Yeah. What's a transition song? I mean, what's the pivot point?
How about I do a song? It's taken on John 15. The song's called Abide.
Sure.
Played it on the First Love project we did together, but this is a different rendition, and it's obviously very simple. Apart from Him, we can do nothing.
Mm.
You don't abide in Him, and there's nothing. You can look through all your books in your library and go to every theological seminary or go online and dig. You're never going to find a gray definition of the word nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Nothing is.
It's nothing.
Nothing.
It would probably be wisdom to abide in Him, so we have everything.
Yeah.
You know? So this is a song called Abide.
If you'd like to access more of Paul's music, go to paulclarkmusic.com.
We'll be right back after this.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to their world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, "Thank You, Jesus."
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.
The more I go on with the Lord, I find that I cannot afford to stay away from His side. It's in the vine I'll abide. His words are truth and life to me. They cleanse and sanctify me. I know His power can't be denied. It's in the vine I'll abide. A child of God, I know I am. I've been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. But I haven't touched the hole. But in the vine I'll abide. Oh, my Savior, my God, You are my King. You're the Lord of everything. Oh, Jesus, I will. Bring forth fruit, this is my aim, and give the glory to His name. To do the same, you must decide, if in the vine you'll abide. To do the same, you must decide, if in the vine. You'll abide. Oh, you'll abide. Oh, in Jesus the vine. Oh, my Savior, You are the vine.
Out the branch out, there's no sap coming from the roots.
Well, there's a whole lot of education and the simplification of things that God has communicated. I mean, things that we'll never know the extent of. Mm-hmm. He made it so simple that we wouldn't miss it.
So
and the problem is, it's too simple for us, so we mess it up.
Is that the truth?
It's so irrational.
It is, because, I mean, you think about... Take yourself in the time capsule, go back there. I mean, they weren't carrying around pocket New Testaments and commentaries and iPhones with four different versions of the Bible on it, or the Greek or the lexicons. Or this was all a large part experiential.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it came based upon the law that Jesus says, hey, the law of the prophets fulfilled in this thing, you know, love your Lord your God and love. 613 got reduced to two commandments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That, if you can do that, you can accomplish a lot. So many things that are so applicable to that, like Micah 6:8, he's showing the old man what to do. I mean, that's real stuff you can do every day. Mercy,
and that,
justice.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. When you're abiding the vine, like we just sang about, that's where the fruit comes
from. There's abiding fruit.
Yeah, there's abiding fruit. And it's not something that goes away or rots. Or
what a life that he's given us. You're revealing what the Lord is saying to you. As you're like me, you just can't help but articulate what's going on in the depth of that secret place. And as he points at things and clarifies them and stuff, I got to say it out loud so my ears hear it, so my brain finds out what my heart knows now, so that I can actually follow through and apply it to the situations that I never applied it to before. Mm-hmm. And that's the full-time job in this life, and I think it's probably going to be forever, because he kind of doesn't run out of stuff to show us.
I think it goes beyond Interstellar movie.
Yes. I don't think there's a bottom to this well. Is there something that would articulate and pass on something that's very pivotal for you right now?
Yeah, I have a song called Gray Sky of Blue that I was just sitting here thinking about. It'd be a good song to sing and a good song to talk about first. I have to retune my guitar, but I'm going to give away the tuning because it's a unique tuning that some guitar players out there might enjoy expanding their knowledge.
Cool.
There's a line in this song that I probably, if you know, sometimes people say, what do you want to put in your tombstone? If you had to put a sort of a literary comment, this is what I'd probably like to put in my tombstone. There's a tumbleweed caught in the fence. It reminds me of my worthless self-defense. I often think of my own life the last 45 years as sort of like a tumbleweed. You have some of those in California. You go inland a little bit, and you have the high desert.
You don't have to go far.
Yeah, and you know, you see a tumbleweed. It rolls along, rolls along, rolls along until it hits a fence, and it's stuck.
Yeah.
It's stuck in that fence until the next bigger wind comes along and actually blows it over the fence. Mm-hmm. And it starts tumbling in open field again. Bam, hits the next fence. And it's like chapters and seasons of life. You know?
Yeah.
The truth is, the tumbleweed's dead. It's already been uprooted. There's no roots. It's brown. It's brittle. It's crumbling as it's tumbling. It's falling more apart like our bodies right now. I love the metaphor of this because the punchline of the song actually is, I'm waiting for you.
Mm.
And I think any ardent follower of Jesus Christ, the real root system that goes down, you know. And so when I think of a tumbleweed, there's no roots. It's got nothing. There's no value of its own, you know. And I think that's, we have to be realistic about who we are. A lot of us like to believe our press that we can do things and we have some sort of powers of our own. But the truth is, we're really dead bones. We're dead leaves. We're dead. We're dead bush.
And only the wind.
Only the wind can move us.
Only the wind.
I love that, because there are times, man, I'm stuck in that fence and the wind and blowing 1 mile per hour.
Yeah.
And you sit there in the baking sun. And you, Lord, and it's moving.
You can't get a breath.
No, it's a teaching moment. There's a reason why you're there, and the reason why it's that fence, not some other fence. And you digest the moment, and then the wind comes and eventually hurls you over the fence. And
well, that brings all kinds of lessons to mind.
You know, if the wind changes direction, it doesn't go back the same place it came from.
Mm-mm.
It's thrown to and fro, but it has a motion. So I'd like to think of myself as a green plant, and I do. There's a part of me that's
fruitful.
Yeah, I'm fruitful of that, But the reality is that there's nothing eternal in me except for the Holy Spirit. His spirit is the only thing that I'm going to take on. So here's a little quick guitar lesson. You can decide if you put this in later or not. I'm in standard tuning right now, EAD, GB, and E on top. Most guitar players on the 4th fret of the G string, we play this note to go to the B string. So I'm going to move up 1 fret to the C note. You hear that? So now I'm going to tune this up. The B string goes up from B to C. So it's coming from B to C. That'll give you also the ability to get the octave of the low E. It's going to go down to C now. So I've got my C. Little tip too, to do this right, you're going to need to get D'Addario bluegrass strings, or medium gauge strings at least, a 56 in the bottom, because if you use too light of a gauge string, it'll oscillate back and forth and wobble out of tune. So get a 56 for the bottom. Anyway, so now I've got My B string has gone up to C. My low E has gone down two steps to C. So I've got C octaves. Now my A note is going to go down to a G. Now the way I can compare that real quick is to keep the G note. So now I have a C on the bottom, the A to a G. The D stays natural. The G stays natural. Those two stay the same as a standard tuning. But now I've got C, D, G, D, C. And the last string of tuning is my high E string goes down to D. So it's a little bit of math and memory here. But once you get it, it's the way you get that. So now I've got three octaves. C, G, D's. So the car, by the time you're done tuning, is C, G, D, G, C, D. Now, this is the beautiful part of this. It sounds complicated, but I'm going to make it the simple math for you. If you place your finger, your pointing finger of your left hand on the second fret of the D string, that's your third string from the bottom, and just play that one note. Now play the chord. That's a C major chord. Move it down one fret to the first fret of the same D string. Very mysterious, you know. And since you've got octaves, you can do...
Mm-hmm.
So you can do a lot of this. By doing this tuning, I'm able to play bass guitar at the same time playing guitar.
Yeah.
Because I've gone up on the higher ones and down the lower ones. So instead of having a standard tuning A minor, I can do this one. It's just a lot more voicey. In pure piano player, Terry, you know the joy and the luxury of being able to put two notes next to each other.
Yeah.
You can't do that on guitar.
No.
It's an open string instrument. There's only six strings. Now I can do it because I can have notes that you would normally play in a cluster chord next to each other. They're available to me now because I've tuned that C string up. I've got to... It sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it does.
All I'm doing is holding down the... It looks like an E minor chord. I'm holding down the second fret of the A string, which is now an A note, and the second fret of the D string, and the fourth fret of the G string. So there's an open C. So there's a song called Gray Sky Blue. You ready?
Yeah.
Off of my heart again, in an old farmhouse with a bed and a chair, I sit by the firelight and I pray this prayer. I'm waiting for you. Go home through the sash and panes. With a broken view, I scan the horizon in my search for you. There's a tumbleweed caught out in the fence. It reminds me of my worthless self-defense. I'm waiting for you. Oh, long are the shadows I cast in my youth. Time and space will dissolve in the eyes of your Savior's face. Of your Savior's face, oh my Lord, I'm waiting for you. Long are the shadows I cast in my youth, deeper the shade of them all. Wise the very forgiveness, the truth, under a gray sky of blue. My hope is forever in you.
Favorites.
Yes, you can see why I like that song, because long are the shadows I cast in my youth, deep red the shade of them all, wide is the prairie, forgiveness the truth, under the gray sky blue, my heart is waiting for you. And I just love that imagery. You know, I live in the Midwest, we have lots of big sky and lots of sunsets, and my past is my past and my future is my future, and I'm waiting for that to unfold. In the meantime, I'll keep tumbling down the road as the wind blows.
Yeah, it's epic.
Thank you so much, Terry.
It's interesting. It's really supernatural, actually, for this universal language of the heart to be articulated in a human being, where it issues the picture.
Mm-hmm.
It actually paints the picture visually for you. And I think those of us, for good reasons, we're very serious about being alive in him, because there's no alternative that we would consider for even a split second. That if we're paying that close attention, the Holy Spirit develops that. Mm-hmm. And whatever the way he wants to articulate that, whatever he does through us is going to paint that picture for somebody. Mm-hmm. Whether it's build a house, or, I mean, you've done that kind of thing, art of putting things together to live in.
Right.
And so it's all the same thing. It's all him.
Yeah.
It's all his creativity. There's no other source for creativity. The miracle is that thing that God has created. Everything we know about, this beautiful order, the universe, the cosmos that God has created, is for that purpose. Mm-hmm.
Right, it's true.
Because that's what's meant when it says in Scripture to glorify God. You're the spout where the creativity spews out on the physical world.
That's right.
Because there's nothing here like that. And what's really beautiful is that that's not just a physical thing. Somebody, a person, a personality, a being of incredible source creativity has made those things, the staple, the foundation, the pillars of his creation. So obviously we're going to be drawn to that, because that's what we're made out of.
Right, absolutely.
And only in seeing him in those do we know that we have a home, we have a hope.
Absolutely.
We have life.
The simple truth of Christianity is Jesus came down here to actually assist me to execute my old nature.
That's right.
And there's only one remedy for my old life.
And he went and showed us how to, that's done.
As the scripture says, if I die to myself, then Christ will live in me and through me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today the church and Christianity in a whole is, at least, it's void of the power. Where is the power? What happened to the power?
Well, they're afraid of the inevitable death of self.
Exactly. And that power only comes by a life laid down and his power moving through us. And I know for me, it's a real warning. It's an exhortation I'd sure like to give anybody that's listening that, boy, God forbid that we put a governor on him and say, well, look, we don't do that. You know, that might be too wild. Or, I mean, you look at the things Jesus did, and he wouldn't get a job at any church today. He'd be disqualified. They'd think he's way too wacky.
Yeah.
These resumes of Jesus and Paul and John and Peter and King David, I mean, they're not going to get a job in 21st century Christianity. They're not going to be qualified.
No.
Yet, what is it about all of them that qualifies them? And it's because the Holy Spirit, even Jesus, you know, let the Holy Spirit descend upon him and he's baptized.
Yes.
As John talked about, this person whose sandals not even worthy to latch, you know, he will fill the Holy Spirit with power. He'll fill with fire.
Yeah. I just want the person that's listening to take very seriously what the Lord has just said, not what Paul has said, not what I've said, but what the Lord has been saying to you. And this is part of the beauty of this whole plan that God has put in play, because it's a very personal thing. And what he says to you might not even sound like what Paul said or what I said, but he's wanting to talk to you. He's wanting to talk to every one of his prized creations.
Mm-hmm.
He made us so unique and so specific, and he designed every part of us with such joy and expectation. What happens is that we glimpse a joy that cannot be had here, a peace that cannot be had. Right now, you've heard your Heavenly Father, through the life of Jesus, transforming two men, communicating through us in a harmonic that is specifically designed for what you are tuned to. The universe is a symphony.
Mm-hmm.
The one species that has a choice of tuning up is you. And that longing just made its way to the surface of your heart that said, I want to be the image that he was thinking when he made me. And I want to tell you that you can be. It's your choice. And that creativity that he's born in you can come to the surface, and you can step by step watch him show his image. All you have to do is just come out to the sin offering. Come outside the ruins of your city. He's speaking for us when he says, I want you to go out of yourself to me. Come to me. Every time you have a question, the answer is always, come here to me. I will not just tell you the answer. We will be the answer together.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus, I call your name in awe right now, because you are the physical manifestation of our Father's mind, his nature. Plant that in us right now. You just agree with me in this. Plant that in me right now. And all you have to do is want to look up and realize he's the only source for that. Be willing to come out of a new level of yourself every day, because he's going to be freeing you. He's going to be putting his finger on a locked door inside your heart and saying, you want to open this up? I bought the contents. Do you want to go in and hand it all over? Then you have the authority to do that, because I'm with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. I just pray this all in your name. In everything I know about you, I ask you to do this in that heart that's listening right now, and help them to just step out of themselves right now, like Abraham, not knowing where they're going, but promised a city made by our Father, that we can live with him forever. Amen. Thanks, Paul, for this time. I appreciate the time that you spent.
The Clark's got to get together, you know.
Yeah, and I guess it was inevitable. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We'll see you soon, Paul.
Amen. God bless you. Love you, bro.
God bless you.
Hear Jesus call, come to me. Rest for your soul, peace for eternity. All you have. Receive the peace.
All the music you hear me sing on Terry Clark and Friends can be found at our website, catalystpeople.com. CATALYST, like in chemistry, people.com. Please come visit us soon.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com. And that-